God's word for you, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 and 13. Quote, everything is permitted for me, unquote, but not everything is beneficial. And again, quote, everything is permitted for me, unquote, but I will not be mastered by anything. And quote, food is for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both, unquote. The body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Paul brings up the idea of things that are permitted. The theological term for this is adiaphora, things that are neither commanded nor forbidden by God. Dandelion, for example, is never mentioned in the Bible, and God does not command us to eat dandelions, nor does he forbid it. I have been taught that every part of the dandelion is actually edible, but you may not like them. It's not a sin to eat them, but it's not a sin to leave them alone either. Now, the Corinthians had this view of sex. They had been taught that Christ fulfilled the law of Moses, which is correct, but they had the wrong idea that just because of this, restrictions about sex were all lifted, and now if one has an appetite for sex, that would be no different from an appetite for food. Peter, for example, had been shown that there are no longer any restrictions on the foods, and especially the meats that we can eat, according to Acts 10, verses 11 to 13. Well, a saying or slogan that the Corinthians had was, food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will destroy them both. And yeah, some translations end the quotation earlier, but you get the point. Their idea was that eating food has no bearing on the spiritual life, but is only part of human life on earth. And then they took that one step further. Since sex is only part of this life, according to Mark 12:25, then what we do sexually corresponds to the things that we eat. And it doesn't matter, they reasoned, regarding our spiritual life. Well, Paul, however, has to deny that what we do with our bodies is only part of this life. God's design for marriage is not part of his law given through Moses, but his plan for all mankind forever, given in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 2, 18 to 25. The body is not meant for sexual immorality. Our sexual actions matter, both morally and spiritually. What we do is an expression of our relationship with God. In fact, Paul reminds us, the body is for the Lord. The Lord raised the body of Christ from the dead, and he will raise our bodies too. Jesus proclaimed the resurrection of the dead as the physical resuscitation of each actual human being from death. He quoted Exodus 3:15 to show this, when God had said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Jesus explained that God is the God of the living. Therefore, our bodies will be living bodies in heaven. This is the resurrection. So what about our bodies here on earth? Well, what about those of us, nearly all of us, who cannot go through life without sex? This is why God established marriage, so that it would be the loving way to share in sex for a lifetime. Apart from a man who has been made a eunuch by violence or accident or nature, Matthew 19:12, no man should presume to go through life without a wife, nor a woman without a husband. Paul will return to this fact later in the letter, chapter 7, verses 1 to 9. We'll talk about it then. But this is also about the answer to the Corinthians' argument here about their appetite for sex. The human body was not created for immorality, but for the Lord. Therefore, love the Lord, appreciate his gifts, restrain from sexual urges outside of the permanent bond of marriage, and be sure to satisfy your wife's needs or your husband's within marriage. For that is one of the three great blessings of marriage, besides raising a family together and having a lifelong companion. Finally, Paul says, the Lord is for the body. God is not unaware of the needs of our flesh. This is why he made us the way he did and why he established marriage. Marriage gives us the proper outlet for our physical needs and allows us to set aside sinful thoughts about, for example, how to gratify the desires of the flesh. That's Romans 13:14. Because those desires are gratified within marriage without sinning at all. Marriage allows us to avoid sharing in the sins of others and to keep ourselves pure. That's 1 Timothy 5:22. And then we're able to truly think about what Paul says in Philippians 4, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, and to have a right spirit to serve God. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's word for you.